Delta and United deny reports of merger talks. Controllers in Palm Springs will soon have a much better view of the airport. And another Connecticut town signs onto a lawsuit against the FAA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, November 15th, 2007. Officials of both Delta and United Airlines moved quickly Wednesday afternoon to rebut a report that they have been in merger talks and were moving expeditiously to get regulatory approval before the current administration leaves office in Washington. The Associated Press quoted an unnamed executive. AP may have been burned on this one. United spokeswoman Jean Medina pointedly told the Los Angeles Times, quote, "We do not respond to wholly inaccurate statements made by people who claim to have knowledge when they clearly do not," unquote. From the Delta side, CEO Richard Anderson offered, quote, "There have been no talks with United regarding any type of consolidation transaction, and there are no such ongoing discussions," unquote. The only sources actually named in AP's original story were shareholders in both airlines. Could it be someone was a little bored looking at a Wall Street ticker and thought the stock prices could benefit from some excitement? Or are the corporate statements just a denial before the storm? Stay tuned. Federal Aviation Administration officials told the Palm Springs International Airport Commission on Wednesday that they will approve a site for a new air traffic control tower in January and fully fund construction to be completed by 2012. Airport Executive Director Tom Nolan told KNBC-TV, quote, "The existing tower was built in 1967, and it's time for modernization by building a tower with cutting-edge equipment and better visibility," unquote. That need was echoed by other regional officials. Palm Springs Communications Director Cindy Yukon told the station the site expected to be approved is one next to the current 67-foot-tall midfield tower. The new one will stand 157 feet tall, providing a better line of sight for controllers and anticipating further expansion. Palm Springs has one of the nation's fastest-growing airports, with traffic up 4.5% just since last year. The town of Weston, Connecticut, has officially added its voice and $58,000 of its taxpayers' money to a coalition suing the FAA to stop its plan to redirect New York area air traffic over southern Connecticut. Those are pretty steep club dues, but other municipalities already on board include Westport, Reading, Greenwich, Norwalk, Stamford, Wilton, Ridgefield, New Canaan, and Darien in Connecticut, and Pound Ridge, New York. The Weston Forum reports Danbury and Brookfield, Connecticut are also considering joining in. The group is calling itself the Alliance for Sensible Airspace Planning. Expenses will include court costs, hiring lobbyists, and organizing grassroots opposition to the FAA's plan. The lawsuit taps into resident outrage at the possibility that the FAA could impose the change with no environmental impact assessment, and without regard to the loss of property values some predict will result from constant overhead jet traffic. The state of Connecticut is working on its own separate lawsuit. A company that manages aircraft for two major league sports teams and the founders of internet search company Google is under investigation by the FAA over some functions that were outsourced to other vendors. Federal regulations state that charter operators must have direct control over matters involving the aircraft they fly, and that includes maintenance, crew scheduling, and dispatching duties. The Wall Street Journal reports that Elan Express Incorporated allegedly contracted work out to U.S. affiliates of TAG Aviation Holding S.A. Last week, the Swiss company paid a $10 million fine to settle allegations it secretly controlled flights conducted by affiliate AMI Jet Charter. TAG did not admit to wrongdoing in the settlement, which mentions a relationship with Elan Express, but leaves Elan out of the settlement terms. Nevertheless, sources familiar with the matter tell the Journal that the FAA has collected documents from Elan Express and is looking into the possibility TAG's U.S.-based unit may have provided similar services to Elan, as were alleged in the earlier investigation against TAG and AMI, which once had a minority stake in Elan. Elan Express also manages the Boeing 767 owned by Google founders Sergey Brin and Larry Page, as well as a Boeing 727 used by the Chicago Bulls basketball team and baseball's Colorado Rockies. Up next on ANN, more good news from Dubai, this time for Eclipse and Cirrus. Vern Rayburn answers news of a lawsuit by an Eclipse vendor. And could all these Middle East airliner commitments evaporate if oil prices drop? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 15th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Cirrus Design Corporation and Dubai Aerospace Enterprises Flight Academy entered into a long-term agreement this week to provide aircraft for flight training. DAE Flight Academy accepted two SR-22s at the 2007 Dubai Air Show. The planes will be utilized for curriculum development and instructor standardization training. Volume delivery of the training fleet will commence in 2008. The SR-22 Turbo is also making its first appearance in the Gulf at the show. John Bingham, Managing Director of Cirrus International Sales, believes the market in the Middle East, quote, will grow healthily over the next few years, especially in the private aviation sector, and we expect to be a part of that, unquote. As good as that news was, it might have been even better if Cirrus had had its light jet closer to production. Eclipse Aviation announced on Wednesday that DAE Flight Academy will buy 12 Eclipse 500 very light jets for use as intermediate trainers for students moving up from the Cirrus SR-22 on their way to type ratings in multi-crew jet transport aircraft. Cirrus Design's strategy for its jet is to give it enough in common with its high-performance piston planes that it will be an easy transition up from the SR-22. If only it were ready now. DAE's goal for its academy is to help fill a rapidly worsening shortage of pilots in developing markets in the Middle East, Europe, India, and North Africa. The news wasn't all good for Eclipse on Wednesday. The Albuquerque Journal reported the company has been sued by Hampson Aerospace in the UK, alleging Eclipse failed to pay for empennage assemblies produced at Hampson's facility in Texas. Eclipse President Vern Rayburn told ANN his side of that story, saying Eclipse has had to expend significant resources in order to use the components provided by Hampson. Quote, "It's a shame that Hampson resorts to obfuscation and lawsuits when the fact of the matter is that they haven't done what they promised. We spend way too much time fixing what should have been done right to begin with," unquote. The lawsuit compounds damage to Eclipse's image, done by speculation from one analyst that Eclipse may need more money to continue operations through the end of the year. Rayburn called that absolutely untrue and asserts the company is not in financial trouble. The heady pace of orders announced this week at the Dubai Air Show is taking even industry veterans by surprise. Jetliner orders from airlines in the Persian Gulf this week are approaching a total of $100 billion at list prices. Scott Carson, head of Boeing Commercial Airplanes, told Zaya Dow Jones News, quote, "We've never seen orders like this week before," unquote. But some observers say the purchases are propped up by high oil prices, and some of these Airbus and Boeing orders may end up never being delivered. Analyst Adam Pilarski told the Seattle Post-Intelligencer that if you add up all the planes Emirates has on order from Boeing and Airbus, every man, woman, and child in Dubai would have to make 1,000 airplane flights a year to fill the seats. And that's not counting airliner orders from Qatar and DAE. Obviously, all three airlines are counting on development of airports in the Middle East as major international hubs. But analysts agree a huge bubble is forming, and that huge excess capacity and price cutting in the future could threaten the profitability of established European and Asian competitors such as British Airways, Lufthansa, Air France, and Qantas. Still ahead, a NASA celebration at Dryden is overshadowed by sad news. Boeing delivers the Orion Heat Shield to NASA, and the Detroit Red Wings lost more than a hockey game in St. Louis. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, November 15, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. NASA's venerable DC-8 Airborne Science Laboratory returned to NASA's Dryden Flight Research Center recently after an absence of more than 2 years. The Flying Science Lab's missions had been managed by the University of North Dakota since late 2005, although Dryden flight crews continued to operate the aircraft on worldwide data-gathering missions. The converted jetliner is the first science aircraft to be based at Dryden's new aircraft operations facility, adjacent to Air Force Plant 42 in nearby Palmdale, California. Four other NASA science aircraft are due to be based there in coming months. But the happy occasion of the return of the DC-8 to Dryden was later overshadowed by news that veteran NASA research pilot Edwin Lewis, who was the pilot in command for the DC-8's flight-in, was the same Edwin Lewis who died in an unrelated plane crash that evening. As ANN reported, the Cessna 182 transporting Lewis and fellow Civil Air Patrol Colonel Dion E. DeCamp impacted mountainous terrain near Las Vegas, Nevada. An investigation continues. Boeing reports it has completed a developmental heat shield for evaluation by NASA for the Orion spacecraft program. Orion will use an ablative-style shield, like those in the early U.S. manned space capsules, only much larger. Boeing says the 5-meter diameter developmental shield is the largest of its type ever built. Boeing was awarded a contract last year to deliver what, in NASA speak, is called a TPS-MDU. That's for Thermal Protection System Manufacturing Demonstration Unit. The shield, which looks for all the world like a 15-foot Frisbee, was built at Boeing's Huntington Beach, California plant and was shipped to Kennedy Space Center on Tuesday. Alex Lopez, Boeing VP of Advanced Network and Space Systems, says the delivery of the heat shield demonstrates the company has the processes, tools, and capabilities to successfully produce reliable heat shields for Orion missions. The Detroit Red Wings probably expect hostile hockey fans when they come to play in St. Louis, but they probably didn't expect what happened to the team's chartered DC-9 Tuesday night. After getting beat 4-3 by the Blues, the team headed for home. Then, according to local media reports, the pilot cut a corner a little too tight while taxiing on the airport's north runway, got the right main gear off on the grass, and sank in the mud. The right side reportedly sank to the point where the right wing was about a foot off the ground. KSDK Television has video, which shows scorch marks from an apparent attempt to free the plane using the thrust reversers. There were no injuries, but the plane was still stuck there Wednesday morning, a sort of unwanted trophy of a day the Red Wings would rather forget for at least two reasons. And finally, actor John Stamos showed some calm and class in a recent awkward in-flight encounter with a fan. E! Online reports Stamos was on a flight from Chicago to LAX. He plays Tony Gates on the TV series ER and found himself on the same flight home with a woman whose two kids had been in Chicago to shoot scenes for the show. But the woman made a scene of her own on the plane. Witnesses said the woman walked up to a sleeping Stamos and shook him awake in his first-class seat. He reportedly told her he wanted to sleep. Later, when Stamos went to the restroom, the woman said she would wait in his seat till he came back. She reportedly ignored instructions from flight attendants to quit hassling the actor, and the FBI was waiting for her when the plane landed. These things often have ugly endings, but Stamos declined to press charges, even after being shaken awake, which is very gracious of him if you think back to his character Uncle Jesse on Full House, or, for that matter, given his Ambien-induced catastrophe on Australian TV over the summer. Google Stamos Ambien. It's fun reading. And that's the latest from Aero News. Hey, I'll bet Google will embarrass a lot of us at some point in our lives. Remember to check out today's ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with a Cirrus SR-22 owner who lives in Massachusetts, but got a surprise $26,000 tax bill from the state of Maine. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.